In Jesus' name, we will continue our services this morning, reading from the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, verses 1 through 14 in Jesus' name. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. Amen. We heard through our dear brother related about that first Easter. It's a story that we won't truly understand till we reach heaven. As we have heard during these days, it's a message that there were those of that day that they couldn't believe it, that there was any such thing as resurrection. This morning, dear brothers and sisters, our faith depends on that. It's our sole hope. And it seems fitting, our brother read from the previous chapter, and that chapter ends with a couple of verses that seem like they should have been at the end of this entire gospel. It says, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Very fitting words to end a book or this gospel. When I thought about this, listening this morning, I thought to myself that it really was the end of the story right there. It explained it all. If we were simply speaking about that resurrection story, there's nothing left to be said. And when we think of our lives and we think of our endeavor of faith, haven't we come to that conclusion that when we live of faith, we are partakers of the same resurrection of Christ? As our brother said, we are beneficiaries along with him, co-inheritors of the eternal life with Jesus. Isn't that really the end of the story? Oh, if it could just end there. This gospel continued and explained that life for those disciples continued. It's the same way when we have gathered at services for many days and have been fed by God's word and have been able to dip water from that well of life. We have, perhaps some of us wondered if we could just stay here. It's a good place to be. But the way continues, the endeavor goes on. And that's what we find here, that the endeavor continued for these disciples. I marveled at that God and his word was so good to us that not only did he explain the message of his son, the true meaning of faith, the reason for our hope, but then he also gave us glimpses into the life of those early believers that we could see and feel and know that we're walking that same pathway of faith. We're going down that same road as they were. We're following the same Lord Jesus. We're gathering the blood drops of Jesus as they did. These disciples had gathered together, and it doesn't say what they spoke about, but I'm sure we can all imagine what that was, that conversation. Perhaps it was disbelief about those things that happened. That's a very familiar thought. Anytime we're placed before those types of majestical type ideas, we're perhaps in disbelief. In our family, just these past few weeks, we encountered such when my wife's father passed away, and I remembered during that time I was there with my family and we helped him out the door that night. He went under his own power and he never came back. It's hard to believe. What really happened there? Sometimes, even in God's Word, we're confronted with those types of ideas, and sometimes they're hard to believe. We spoke about that a little bit last night, that Jesus died for us when we were sinners. It makes sense that someone would die for a good person, but for me, as sinful as I am, he died for me. Perhaps that's what these disciples spoke about that day, and it didn't make sense. Life had to go forward, so Simon says that, well, I'm going fishing. Perhaps a familiar thought even to some of you here. You have your own hobbies and tasks that you do to try to assuage those types of feelings. To make yourself feel better, try to forget those things that happen. And he said, well, I'm going fishing. And the other disciple says, well, we'll come with you. Isn't that a good thing? That as believers, we're that way. That when one of our brothers or sisters are in trials or in questions or in any temptation that they are, we can trust our brothers and sisters to be there for us. We'll go with you. In fact, that carries through so much of our lives, not simply at times of death, but isn't that, for instance, the pledge we make as husbands and wives to each other? In the book of Ruth, it contains words that many times are used at weddings, where it's said that where you go, I will go. Your God is my God. And your people are my people. We have become used to that fact as believers. And it's not so self-evident to people around us what that is. And so these believers, these men, they gather together and they try to continue the journey and perhaps try to force their way through this ordeal. We'll just do it ourselves, so to speak. And in the middle of this, we come to this little fishing trip. They were fishermen by trade. They knew how to fish. I actually find that quite amazing that these men who were fishermen went out to fish with nets. I'm not a fisherman myself, but I try to rationalize it in this way, that if I were to go out there with just one line and expect to catch fish, there might be those kinds of days where the fish aren't biting. But if you can imagine taking a net and just dragging it through the water to catch fish, it doesn't matter whether those fish want to bite or not. You just catch them. That's what these professional fishermen were trying to do. They went out to fish. And they caught nothing. Think about that for a little bit and place it into this context that we are humans, and even in our endeavor of faith, we might become so confident and so successful that we're gonna do something. We can do something here or say something to our brothers and sisters that will just make it all better. And then there's nothing. I've wondered over the years, I've been on a few mission trips to Ecuador and elsewhere, and God hasn't in those times allowed me to see repentance, true repentance. In some ways, I've wondered, was I one of these men? Caught nothing. But God does allow sometimes those types of things to happen to show His majesty, His work in us. He allows us to see the work from up so close. It's marvelous to look at when you're that close to it and realize that you had nothing to do with it. Think of these fishermen. They're out there all night trying their best to catch fish, and they caught nothing. Then it says that Jesus came, and they didn't know who He was, and He just gave them a little tip. Just throw it out onto the right side of the ship, and you'll find some fish there. And instead, they were obedient, and they threw it out to the right side of the ship, and there was a multitude of fishes. And in fact, when you read, look at the original language, our translation seems to make it somehow a little bit smaller. It says great fishes, but the original gives the idea that these are like mega fishes. These were, you couldn't think of catching a bigger fish. It was full of those types of fish. What a remarkable turn of events. Beyond their belief. I don't know if God allowed me to experience this for this reason, but it reminds me of this. I've told this story a couple times in the last few months because it still baffles me. A dear friend of mine who wandered so many years in unbelief asked me to go to Luther exhibit down in Minneapolis. And we talked about things along the way and on the way back, and we stopped for lunch and talked there, and we talked in the car in my driveway, and I tried to exhort him on to repentance, and nothing. That was in the afternoon when he left me that day. And he said when he left, about 5 minutes after he left, it's like God flipped the switch. And he became uncomfortable and worried and fearful. And he thought, well, this will go away. Because he had made a lot of promises in his life. In fact, he said that he knew. He said that the summer services were coming up in Cocado this summer, and that's going to be a good time. He'll make repentance there. And he made it home, and he said that those feelings didn't go away, and he tried to lay down for his rest, and he had to get out of bed again, and then he tried calling my home phone. My phone wasn't working properly. It didn't ring. Then he tried sending me a text. And I was sleeping. And what went through his mind was, maybe I'm not meant to be a believer. Maybe my time has gone by. But 10 minutes later, he says he couldn't handle it. The stress was so great that he tried calling me. And I woke up then to a fearful friend of mine, wondering if he can just believe his sins forgiven. What a great catch of fish that was. God allows us those moments to sit at his feet. We're not part of that. But he uses us, and we see it from so close. We can only marvel at his goodness and grace. That he has been so good to sin-fallen mankind, that he has given us that kind of a possibility, that we don't have to labor in our fears and worries. We don't have to try to be anything special or a good Christian in that way. We can simply believe in the merit works of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's good enough. In fact, not just good enough, but so much greater than what we can do. Another side story on this fishing trip was the obedience of faith of these disciples. They had walked with Jesus for a few years and followed his teachings and learned of him. But they didn't know him when he called them that day. They didn't understand that it was him. But it was a comforting message that came. Children, do you have anything to eat? And they just very, very, as a matter of factly said, no, we don't. We don't have anything to eat. And so then he gave them that reply to cast the net on the right side, and in obedience of faith, they cast the net on the right side. Oh, if we could live those types of lives, those endeavors of faith where we know each other, we gather together as much as we can and we learn of him and we understand even in the unity of the Spirit in the congregation when we have been rebuked or we have been given instructions, that we are obedient to that. We're comfortable in that obedience. We're able to follow those commands of Christ, even if we don't understand them. I find that actually kind of remarkable, even thinking about this in terms of Peter, who was such a obstinate man in some ways, always wanted something better or in a different way. But yet when Jesus called with such a gentle message, gentle instruction, it was easy to be obedient, wasn't it, for them? in the midst of those moments, it says that the disciple whom Jesus loved told Peter that it's the Lord. I know it's Him. I can tell. We have those moments as well, dear brothers and sisters, that we just know that it was Him. We understand His guidance, and it's not always so sure right then, but looking backwards, we say that's the way it should have been. God led us and guided us. In vain been said in the Old Testament that hitherto God has led us. That's what the Old Testament believers knew. They could look back and say, God has led us here. It isn't our only problem looking forward. Isn't that when doubts come, worries and fears? But we don't always have to look to the future. We can live of that moment which God has given us. And in this example, it gives us a very comforting moment. There they dragged their net to the shore, and when they got there, they saw a fire of coals. Fish laid on the coals and bread. Where we've come today, dear brothers and sisters. We've come to the Lord's Holy Supper. It's been set. It's all finished. It's not some ordinary meal. In fact, the apostle tells from the believers of his day that the wine, the blood that we drink, isn't it the fellowship of the blood of Christ? It seems like it wasn't very self-evident to them, believers, otherwise the apostle wouldn't have said that. Isn't the bread that we eat, isn't that also that? Jesus himself says that when you come to this table and you eat and drink to remember him. We've remembered him this weekend, but he still calls us to this Holy Supper to remember again for the refreshment of our faith, his suffering and death, his victorious resurrection. And he says, come and dine. We come as one family of God. We come as his brothers and sisters. We come because this is a covenant, an eternal covenant, it holds true forever. It reminds us, even in this circle of this table, that the other half of the circle is behind us. It's eternal. We are joining into that same fellowship of believers who have gone before us. So even in this Holy Supper, we can remember them. They lived the same way we did. They had a great victory. They gathered the blood drops of Jesus, and it was sufficient for them. It will be sufficient for us, dear brothers and sisters, as well. So let us be joyful this Easter morning and with joy in our hearts, celebrate together this Easter. We don't have to ask who art thou, as the disciple, or as John says here. But it says that Jesus then came and took bread and gave it to them, and fish likewise. In communion, it's not relevant who serves you, dear brothers and sisters, be it who it may be. The promises of this sacrament hold true. We do it in remembrance of Him. So when you come, dear brothers and sisters, come with faith, with that assurance that you will receive refreshment of your faith. Come as fellow brothers and sisters, walking along the same way. Come as fellow escorts, but come as you are. No better, no worse. Simply believing that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Lift up your heart this morning and truly believe that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Be happy and be joyful. In coming here, I always know that I'll receive more than I can give. And it's happened once again. I came in weakness and in doubts, and still wonder if I can believe my sins forgiven. I believe. I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.